Welcome to Report from Capitol Hill, a weekly legislative update with Congressman Joe Pitts.
Mr. Pitts, can you tell us about the airplane that departed from France and disappeared last week?
Yes, last Thursday, May 19, an Egyptian airliner carrying 66 people disappeared over Egyptian airspace. It reportedly made a sharp left and then a sharp right before disappearing off the radar, although Egypt and Greece authorities disagree about whether the plane actually swerved or not. On Friday, Egypt found parts of the flight's wreckage near the coastal city of Alexandria. Thus far, they have found life vests and body parts and personal belongings. It's not clear whether Flight 804's demise was the result of a mechanical failure or a deliberate act. So far, no terrorist group has asserted responsibility. Last October, an Islamic State affiliate in Egypt claimed responsibility for bringing down a Russian charter flight over the Sinai. So when last week's event occurred, people naturally suspected foul play. Officials hope to have a clear picture of what happened when they recover the plane's black boxes. According to experts, it's extremely important to find the black boxes within 30 days because they stop sending out a sonar signal after that. Searchers detected an emergency signal on Thursday, which is a good sign. Egypt is leading the search effort, and I look forward to hearing more information about what happened in this crash. I wish the search teams a speedy recovery of the black boxes.
What's going on with ISIS in the Sinai?
Well, last Friday, the Washington Times reported that ISIS is actively expanding its presence in Egypt's Sinai Peninsula. The Times reported that ISIS, or Daesh, has kicked up its recruitment efforts in the Sinai in hopes of building a base there that is strong enough to conquer nearby Jerusalem. ISIS's propaganda is increasingly pointing to a desire to liberate, they call it, Jerusalem, and end the state of Israel. Some experts think that the propaganda's rising emphasis on the land indicates ISIS leaders' view that Israel's demise is increasingly important to their overall strategy. As a result, we'll probably see more and more volatility in the Sinai as ISIS steps up its recruitment there.
Tell us about the amendment you submitted to the NDAA last week.
Sure. Let me give you some background first. It used to be that all of Russia's Europe-facing ports were ice-locked for part of the year because it's so cold there. This was the case until the invention of the icebreaker in the 20th century. Even with its invention, it's still crucial for Russia, strategically, to have access to warm water ports. Russia's invasion of Crimea in the Ukraine, in fact, was made possible by its access to the warm water port of Sevastopol on Crimea's southern edge. When Russia came to the rescue of Assad's tyrannical regime in Syria, that military foray was also facilitated by Russia's access to Syria's warm water port of Tartus. Clearly, there's a common thread here. What many don't know is that some of our own NATO allies, like Spain and Greece, have been lending their warm water ports to Russia. We need to bring accountability to these allies so that their cooperation with Russia does not weaken the NATO alliance. So I submitted an amendment to the National Defense Authorization Act, or NDAA, to require reporting from the Department of Defense on any country that allows Russia to use its ports. Hopefully, countries around the globe will think twice before hosting Russian naval vessels in the future.
What can you tell us about the cybersecurity at Health and Human Services?
Sure. For any of you that have ever had your identity stolen, you know how alarming and unsavory and time-consuming the whole process can be. Unfortunately, similar information security issues have plagued the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, which runs Obamacare. The Health Subcommittee, which I chair, found a record of security weaknesses within the agency. And so we held a hearing on Wednesday to address these vulnerabilities and hear from witnesses what HHS could do better. Obamacare is bad enough. We don't want to exacerbate the problem by leaving citizens' personal information within HHS vulnerable to cyber attacks and hackers.
All right. Thanks for that update. Do you have a good news headliner for us?
Yes. At a school board meeting on May the 16th, Conestoga Valley Middle School announced that its students had raised $16,452 for the Four Diamonds Fund, which battles childhood cancer. The amount the students raised this year was more than a 300% increase from the amount they raised in the 2012-13 school year. The National Honor Society at Conestoga High School also held several events to raise money for two major fundraisers, the first one earning $8,950 and the second $10,500. Way to go, Conestoga Middle School and High School. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Mr. Pitts.
You're welcome.
If you have comments or questions for Congressman Pitts, please write to Congressman Joseph Pitts, U.S. House of Representatives, Washington, D.C., 20515.